it takes time. You know, life is a long play and you have to put the work in beforehand to kind of get where you want to be. Great quote is, you dig your well before you need it kind of mindset.
All right, hey, listen, today's guest builds custom furniture and a lot of cool shit. He's the owner of JM Custom Builds. He's co-host of the Made for Profit podcast, where he talks to businesses that work in the shop and make cool stuff and how to monetize and how to turn your side hustle into money and income and stuff like that. John Malecki is a former NFL football player. He bounced around the league for a few years. He's out of the University of Pittsburgh. He played for the Browns. He played for the Steelers. And today we talked about really how to build your brand using Instagram and social media and kind of what it takes to get to the top of your game in that. So listen, and before we jump in to my interview with John, want to make sure that you head over to the Contractor Fight private Facebook group on Facebook, because that's where a private Facebook group is, and become part of the conversation that we have going on there. You know, we got open. There's times that I'll say, hey, I'm free for the next half an hour. Who's got questions? I can help you. The team can help you. My other coaches in my group can help you with any issue that you're having in your business. Amazing relationships with your peers and things like that. The one common denominator of everybody that's in that group is we have owned our crap. So that's the cover charge. If you want to be part of the group, it's a free group. But head over there, and within 24 hours, you need to post something where you're owning your crap. Like, hey, I'm lazy, or I'm chicken to talk to people about money, and it's holding my business back, or whatever it is. Own your crap. That's the first step into making progress in your life and your business. So head over to that Facebook group, and you'll be able to see a lot of cool stuff that we have going on. All right, so anyway, gonna stop running my mouth. Travis, make some really cool noise right now, like a guitar or drums or big explosion, as we welcome John Malecki. John, we finally made it happen. You're here.
Yes.
And I know it's got to be 6 months that we've been trying to make this happen, and between me traveling and being sick a couple times and you being crazy busy with the empire that you're building and your world, man, it's... I'm glad that we finally were able to make it happen. So I appreciate you being here today. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys having me. As you mentioned, the logistics of building a business and running a podcast and producing content, it gets to be quite hectic. And then I got an employee, and so trying to manage it all, I was stoked to see that this was on the schedule for this week, and I'm pumped to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. And I now there's a lot of reasons I'm glad. Certainly you're doing some amazing things in your business and building a personal brand and social media and making some really kick-ass stuff, man. Seriously, I've been following you for a long time. Another reason I'm excited is, you know, I know you have a past in the NFL and as a football player and things like that. And I'm actually a head high school football coach here in Colorado Springs. And I've been coaching for about 16 years. Oh. And, taken over a super struggling program this past season. Was my first year there, so we're in the grind and we're in the weight room and busting some ass and things like that. And I know you ended your career with the Steelers, who are actually my second favorite team. The Bears are... I'm from Chicago originally, outside of Chicago, so they make me want to hang myself every year. But it's hard to not respect what the Steelers have done and things like that. And I know you're a Pennsylvania guy. You went to Pitt and stuff like that. So tell us a little bit, how long were you in the NFL, man? What did that look like?
So I jumped around for about 4 years in the NFL. I graduated from Pitt in 2010 and then started pursuing that dream, I guess. I was fortunate to get signed on draft day. So a little insight for you guys. What a lot of people don't know is that all undrafted free agents are signed the same day as the drafted players on that. I guess it's a 3-day draft now in that, you know, whole process of things. So they'll have you lined up ready to go. So I signed a contract that day with the Tennessee Titans, was with them for the summer. Got released by the Titans, signed by the Browns. I was with the Browns, then I was back home, and then I was back with the Browns, and I was in Tampa, then I was with the Browns, and then I got released the first day of training camp the following season in 2011, signed on with the Steelers, and was there for pretty much the rest of my career. And I got, you know, I was up and down off of the active roster and on the practice squad and stuff. So it was a hell of a journey, and it was a hell of a learning experience, to say the least. But it was exciting. I was super fortunate to be able to play in Pittsburgh, where I'm from. And then as I said, I went to school here, friends and family all got to be a part of it too. So, you know, that was a blast. And
that's cool. So I know you've, I've heard you on other shows and things like that and read some of your stuff. You were cut over 10 times, correct, in your career?
Yeah, 13 times.
Okay. Yeah, so 13 times. How has that made you a better business owner?
The concept of getting cut in the NFL is something that no player is ready for. You know, all of us are coming from schools where you're the man, like you're the guy, you're on, you're a captain or you're a starter, or they take care of you or whatever it might be. So your mindset is based on what you know, which is your college career. And you get on a team or you sign a contract, and the body of work in which got you there is kind of what you take to that level. So for myself, it was, you know, first guy in the weight room, last guy to leave. I want to know the playbook inside and out. I'm going to do the best job I possibly can to take the coaching, put it into play, as well as to help the players around me and do all the little things. So you're doing the same thing you did that worked for you in college. You get to the NFL and you're doing the same thing, except you're a peon, like you're a nobody. Yeah. So my first cut, I was sitting in the locker room, just had my ankles taped. It was an uppers practice, which is just shoulder pads and helmets. So I got my shorts on. I get a tap on the shoulder. It's the strength coach. And I, in my heart, like just dropped, and I knew what was coming. And it was just a matter of a roster move. I was a guard and a tackle got hurt earlier in the week. They needed a tackle for the game going into it so we could run three full lines. I was the odd man out, low man on the totem pole, and they released me. So I had a 9-hour drive home from Tennessee, and you really get to like check yourself there, and you learn a lot of humility, and you learn a lot about yourself. You know, it's easy to get down in the dumps in those situations. So after that first one, I kind of developed the mindset of staying the course and staying the path. I knew what I could control, which were my emotions and my work ethic, and I took that and applied it to my NFL career, where I understood that it's a business and that is part of the process. When I got out of the NFL, you know, I was able to continue and use that mindset. So in the gauge of your question, you know, I look at every situation as, am I doing the work beforehand in order to get the outcome I want? And if so, then I can't be upset with whatever that outcome is. So whether that's me building something or whether that's me going into a sales meeting with a client and not getting the job, or I'm getting outbid or whatever it might be, I put the work in beforehand and did the best I possibly could. The outcome is out of my control, and that's in somebody else's hands. So going through all those cuts on something that, especially chasing your dreams, it is disappointing, but what you learn is that you can control what you can control. And that sets you up, I think, for a lot of the experiences that happen in the real world, and especially as a business owner.
You know, it's so funny, the whole time you're telling that story, what kept popping into my mind was that it seems, and you literally said these words, but it seemed to me that you're a guy that has learned to just do the things you're responsible to do, control the things that you have power over controlling. And at the end of the day, the scoreboard's going to light up the way that it's going to light up, whether it's on the football field or in the business world and things like that. Cause there are certain things that are out of our control. What's that old quote that the battle is won, you know, well before the first shot is fired. And, you know, I tell my football players all the time, I tell my business coaching clients and that I work with, I'm like, guys, I tell my football players, I said, you don't win a game on a Friday night.
No.
You know, you win a game in November and December and, you know, in the weight room and in the classroom and doing those things. You've reached the highest level in the football world. Okay. So I want to throw that out there kind of as the context for this question. So from your perspective, now you're building amazing furniture and cool stuff. You're building this incredible, you know, personal brand. You got tens of thousands of social media followers and things like that, doing some amazing stuff. What would you tell somebody? What advice would you give to somebody who desires to reach the highest level in whatever industry that they're in? What does it take?
Well, it takes time. We are in a society nowadays that everyone wants immediate results and immediate satisfaction and gratification. And a lot of people think that you can do one simple thing and then get the long-term results. Life is a long play and you have to put the work in beforehand to kind of get where you want to be. Great quote is you dig your well before you need it kind of mindset. Yeah. So I look at anyone that's trying to attain a level of success that is, at the peak, that you need to be humble. You need to understand that it's a long play, and kind of like what I was saying before is you need to put in the work, and to get there and realize that, that moment of, reaching the top can be very, very slim and it could be very short. So your embodiment of your journey to get there is going to be much more of the story of your life compared to when you hit that top point. That being said, you're going to have to do a lot of the gritty work, a lot of the things nobody sees. You're not going to get accredited, or you're not going to get a lot of accreditation and people seeing what you're doing behind the scenes. All of us as business owners, it's long days, it's long hours, it's a lot of sacrifice. And to get there, you have to realize that that's part of the gig. You're not special because you're sacrificing your time to get to the top. You're literally just like everybody else. And if you can realize that, that's where you can really start to put in the work to realize, that there's a pack of people chasing you and that you're chasing other people. And if you just do the work and consider it part of the process and not that you're better than something, then you can really get there. I look at the opportunities I've had in life and I've always been surrounded by people better than me. And that's something that I've always found inspirational to push me. You look at the, where I was in football and I got to play with, the likes of lots of All-Americans. Right now, you got LeSean McCoy and Deion Lewis. Deion's playing in the Super Bowl this week, and LeSean was just in the Pro Bowl. And, then I go to my Steelers career, and you got Hall of Famers. And I look at those guys, and every single day I walked in there, it was, what is Maurkice Pouncey doing that I can do to get better? What is David DeCastro doing that I can do, I can get better? Well, now that I'm in I'm creating content and I'm producing custom furniture, I look at things and I look at the guys better than me. And I see what they're doing, and it's how can I get to that level and how can I become better, instead of saying, oh, I had this win, I had a project that paid me, tens of thousands of dollars above what I thought I could get for it. That's a great win. My life's set. I'm going to ride this out forever. No, I got to continue to get better off of that. And I think that a lot of people will hit like a little milestone and see something happen in their life and they'll be content with it instead of trying to reach past it. So I think when you're chasing dreams or trying to reach that peak, that you have to stay steady to the course and put in the work and realize that it's just part of the process and that you'll get there in the long term, and to take everything with kind of like a grain of salt.
Hey, how do you know that you're having a sales problem? Just because you have a high closing rate and you have work on the calendar doesn't mean that your sales are dialed in. In fact, I've found with the hundreds of people that I've worked with over the years that some of the indicators of having a sales problem are things like tension at home over the finances, or maybe you're missing deadlines on projects. You can't find and keep winners and grow your team, so you feel like you're starting over every year from scratch building your team. Maybe you don't have an emergency fund set up in your business, or your debt just continues to grow and climb and you never get off that debt hamster wheel. Well, listen, whatever it is for you that you're feeling, take a look in the mirror and really get clear and honest about where you're at with your business, and consider checking out the Contractor Sales Academy. See, it's possible to go from low and unprofitable sales to plenty of high profit work. It's possible to go from having no systems and processes in place, which cost you money, all right, to creating a well-oiled profit machine. It's possible to go from not being able to find and keep kick-ass people for your team, to go from that to building a strong and growing team of winners. Head to thecontractorsalesacademy.com. www.contractorsalesacademy.com/podcast. And you'll be able to fill out a quick little form and see if becoming part of this kick butt community is a good fit for you. ContractorSalesAcademy.com/podcast. And I look forward to getting on the phone with you and seeing if the Contractor Sales Academy is a good fit for you moving forward in your business. Talk to you soon. You know, a lot of contractors I know, they have no problem working hard. I mean, you know, we get dirty, we work hard, we grind, we, you know, have a hard time shutting off, especially as an entrepreneur, business owner. Mm-hmm. How have you gone about approaching your, here we're at the beginning of 2018. So how did you approach planning 2018, knowing what to grind on, what work to do, what to focus on? How did you determine that, you know, Instagram and certain things like that were going to be part of your business development plan?
So I kind of touched on this on my own podcast, and you know, I sat down at the end of 2017 and I looked at my portfolio and where most of my income was coming, where most of my time and effort were going to. Obviously selling custom furniture pays the bills, but the growth potential there is something that is strangled by the economies of scale, you could say. You know, for in order to grow a furniture company, you need capital and you need space as well as clientele. And there's a lot of things that go into it. And then I looked at the opportunities there are in the content space and how many individuals I'm able to affect by inspiring them to, you know, chase their dreams or to help them learn how to get better or whatever little things I could do there. And then I looked at the opportunities for me to help brands and bring awareness to products and tools that I personally love and enjoy that may not have the budget to that, you know, some of these huge companies we all use have. So how can I help them as well? So I sat down and looked at my financials for the last year and looked at where the most profitability was. A lot of people project, and it's funny, we just talked about this on my show, is a lot of people project to their next year based on just random numbers they pull out of the air. I want to grow by 10%, you know, revenue next year. And you look at it and it's just like, how, you know, where does that number come from? So what I did was I looked at the cost and I was basing things off of the fixed numbers that were associated with my last 3 years in business. You know, where can I make more money based on the fixed costs that go into what I'm doing right now? And, you know, there's things like, oh, I can negotiate better pricing on quantities I'm buying walnut in. And like, those type of things. And it's like, or I can take my time that I'm putting into marketing and leverage it to become a better marketer, one, but two, become somebody that's producing better quality content for my audience. And it's kind of why, you know, I have a podcast and a YouTube channel, and then I hammer Instagram so hard, is because, you know, the hundreds of messages and stuff I get, and that I'm able to provide, you know, insight into becoming better at what they're doing or pointing them in the right direction for something educational. That adds a ton of value to my own personal brand, one, and two, to brands that I'm now picked up sponsorships for. So
right.
I looked at the previous year and was like, I'm going to have a really hard time on increasing the profitability based on these fixed costs that I have from the last year, unless I can scale up with the amount of people I have and you know, sort of like your standard business model when it comes to scaling, or I can focus on other revenue streams that I've had that were kind of there and put more effort into it. So going into this year, you know, that's kind of what I did. And I realized that there's a lot of opportunity because I'm in the situation that I'm in with, you know, being able to grow an amazing audience and kind of being into the whole developing content concept, that I can really help people. And that's kind of, so that's why I've been focusing in that space. So that's kind of how I drew that line there, was the money is there and the opportunity is there and I can help people and it's going to give me a better opportunity to get better at it. And I can make more there faster in order to do better for the community than if I just continue to try to sell product and scale in a general sense. If that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, no, it does. And I, you know, I had a conversation a few episodes ago with Nick Schiffer, and you know, he gets a ton of work from Instagram.
Ton.
You know, and I guess I'll ask you a similar question that I asked him is, there's so many guys out there that buy into the content and inbound marketing thing, and they want to add value, they want to educate, they get it. They pull out their iPhone and they're shooting a video, or they're posting a picture, and they're on Instagram and they're tagging and they're doing all this mm-hmm. stuff. But you know, maybe they're a trim carpenter, maybe they're a landscaper, whatever it is, but the business isn't coming. So at the end of the day, they sit back at a year and they go, God, I made 1,000 posts or however many posts it was. I did this, this, and this, and this. And just financially speaking, the ROI isn't there. What would you tell that trim carpenter guy? You know, say the one man band who's driving around in a truck, he's hanging crown, building wainscot, you know, doing some beautiful work, and he's trying to get into this thing, social media, and use it to grow his business and actually make money with it. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe not going the way he wants it to. What low-hanging fruit maybe would you look at for him to address?
Yeah, so I think the concept of marketing on social right now, a lot of people see it as kind of the portfolio. Show your finished work, you know, clients will naturally come to you. When I really look at it, it's the opposite. It's how can I create a level of trust with the buyer before they even meet me? That comes down to putting your personality out there for people to see, putting out your personal interactions for other people to see that you're a real human. You know, a lot of us, especially in the contractor space, a lot of people are hesitant to hire contractors because they don't know anything about them. Right. You know, if you're not coming from a referral, or you're not coming from a word of mouth or somebody that you trust, it's difficult to build that trust in any business setting when there's a transaction. But I think especially with contractors or carpenters, furniture makers, individuals like myself. So what I would say and suggest is focusing on, one, building your personality, and two, justifying yourself as a pro, as an expert, showing off, you know, what you know. I think Nick and Tyler, TRG Homes, does a fantastic job of showing why their product stands for itself. He doesn't need to go out and show you, you know, that he uses hand plane poplar wood in his trim molding, and using 5mm dominoes for instead of screw joints because the expansion and contraction ratio is much better between a screw and a domino. Like, he doesn't have to do that. But what it does is justifies why he's producing such a quality product. And when I'm in the market for something like that, and I'm searching on the social media that I use, you know, for research, or Facebook, Instagram, whatever, YouTube, whatever it might be, I'm going to see that and I'm going to trust that guy. He's giving me behind the scenes. He's not hiding things. And I'm going to see why that's happening in their life. So if you're doing contracting and you're looking to grow on social, take people inside. Show them the story of what's going on. I think that there's a lot of value there in all aspects of business that a lot of people are hesitant to show because, there's a ton of mistakes that go into what we do. Every single one of us goes on a job, you build something gets screwed up. Do you want to show the client that? Not when you're selling, not necessarily, no. But if you're day-to-day showing people what you're going through and how you fix those problems, that's where they're like, oh, this guy isn't just going to slap something on the wall with some construction adhesive and walk out and it looks good and falls apart in 3 months. It's, you know, and that's where I think you can really win in this space.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you know him, but there's a guy, he's one of the top marketing speakers in the world now, according to Forbes magazine. His name's Marcus Sheridan. And called the Sales Lion. He's actually going to be doing a workshop at our Contractor Revolution event in York, Pennsylvania in a couple weeks here. And Marcus has the number one trafficked swimming pool website in the world.
Yes.
In-ground pools. You know what I'm talking about? You know Marcus?
Yep. Okay. Content Inc., correct?
Yeah. He's massive content marketing guy, you know, blogs and this and that. Well, and this was several years ago, but I believe my math might be off by $1 million or so. Okay. But I believe he generated about $3 to $5 million. And this was a few years ago that I heard this. So it's probably more now, off one blog post that talked about the 5 most common problems that people have with fiberglass in-ground swimming pools. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so he's like, listen, everybody wants to hide their mistakes, the thing that they sell, the thing that they do. And like you said, hey, we're in contracting. Shit goes wrong. And so this one blog post where he talked about, you know, the walls are going to bulge or the gel coat's not going to be a certain color or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he said, these are the common problems, but this is how we approach those problems. Mm-hmm. And that transparency is really what built trust and made people feel like, okay, these are the guys to work with. So let me ask you this. I know there's somebody listening to this right now that says, oh, my customer's not on Instagram, right? You know, nobody's going to drop 10 grand with me because they find me on Instagram. Nobody's going to Instagram to look for this. Mm-hmm. Address that guy.
Well, if that's what you believe, then go to where your customer is. So your customer's going to, it's 2018. Everyone's on a cell phone and everyone's on the internet. So if your customer is, you know, somebody that you think is, if they're not on Instagram, probably not a customer you want anyway. But if you're, you know, if you're struggling to find clients on social, you should probably stop looking for clients in that, on that specific platform and start putting your effort towards places where they might be going. So if you think that, and, you know, if you get a lot of feedback on your website, for instance, and you know, like, oh, I was Googling around the area, start putting that time and effort into building a better website, or start doing embedded videos on your website, doing exactly what we just talked about with swimming pools, is laying out your process and how you address issues and try to create that transparency so that person's comfortable with you. I get it a ton, and I know in your long time in the profession that if you can create a that transparency and that bit of comfort before you even walk in the room with somebody, if you don't have that referral that, you know, that typically cuts through that, mm-hmm. if they're able to see you and go, yo, oh, I love your work. I watch your Instagram stories and I find, you know, I know you're doing the high quality techniques or whatever it might be. Take that and put it where you think that client is. If your clients are finding you in the yellow pages, you know, I'm sorry, but you know, that's kind of dying. You need to be in the digital space. And if you're not, that's fine. I mean, a lot of people, especially Pittsburgh's very slow moving city, and that's where I'm at. A lot of people in Pittsburgh are still winning doing billboard advertising and mailing flyers. I don't necessarily think that's dead. But if you want to win in social, you got to go to where your people are. And I guarantee that if you're struggling to find anyone, say on Instagram, that you are looking to make potential clients out of, that you can definitely do more work on the platform to find those clients. You know, everything is searchable on Instagram, all the way down to hashtagging. And you can even go into Facebook Power Editor and find specific individual interests and searches in order to help you find more clients. But that takes time and that takes effort to learn that stuff. So if you want to become a marketer, you got to go all in on being a marketer.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can't sit there and do like, oh, you know, I posted on Instagram this week, like, I post twice a day. I'm on stories all day long. Like, you know, you want to build a following and build trust. People got to see that you're a real human and that you're putting the work in there. And so that's, you know, that's a piece of advice. If you think you're struggling on a platform, either pivot what you're doing and start digging into the platform more, or go to where the client is and put your effort there.
You know, one of the things Nick and I talked about when he was on the show, him being a home builder, you know, I look at influencers. You know, I come from the painting industry, and my influencers were interior designers. They were home builders. They were home inspectors. They were people like that. And when I look at the things that you're making, or the type of jobs that Nick are doing, or really what contractors and makers in general do, you want to know who those top interior designers are in your area and things like that. And those people, let's just call it what it is. Interior designers have an ego. They're posting pictures of their shit on everything that they ever could. And so they're going to be more likely to see the cool table that you built.
Yeah.
You know, because they're already on there and now they're in a position of influence with a client that they're working with going, hey, this John guy built some really cool stuff. I think we need to do this. So just from that pure influencer point of view, that's where I see something like Instagram. So it's so dang visual, you know, that, you know, you invest in, you know, time and effort and, you know, up in the game there, you're going to be able to connect with people, like you said, through hashtagging, local hashtags, you know, builders, Pittsburgh or whatever it's going to be, things like that.
I got a real quick before we go from there. Yeah. Like, so what I get a lot of comments on is interesting is that like, oh, what I'm doing is not visual. Like it's not pretty. And I think that's funny because what all of us do is visual. Like most of us have eyes and we can see, and we're doing something in front of us. So it's really cool when you got someone like my buddy Eric, and his Instagram handle is Mechanical Hub, right? He is a ridiculously knowledgeable plumber and HVAC certified technician. And he like, he'll bring you on a job site and show you like what's going wrong with whatever it is. And it's plumbing. Like it could be extremely boring, yeah. But he makes it cool. He makes it fun. He shows a bunch of ways to do things. He shows the ins and out, the grinds of life. And I guarantee that that helps him pull in clients all day long. They're searching for plumbers in his area. You put the geo filter, like you said, on your search on Facebook or Instagram, it's pulling up the area and he's coming up number one because he's hashtagging and going job to job and showing off what he's doing. And there's that trust and there's that level there. And he sees, oh, he got all these followers. He must be really good. And then you look at his stuff and yeah, it's right on par with exactly what I expected. And that's just a, for instance, that's not someone doing design work or furniture or fine home building or whatever. It's like, yeah, the gritty things behind walls, right. You could still make pretty.
Well, building a brand is about trust. You know, that's why we buy brands. You know, yes. I've told this story a million times. I have three adopted kids. My daughter's from China. We went to China. We were in the country for 2 weeks getting her and doing the whole thing. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. I'm eating like stuff that I have no idea what it is from these little, you know, villages and things like that. And we got back into Guangzhou and went out for a walk with my daughter. I got her strapped to my chest. She's not, you know, a few months old. And I turn the corner and I see the Golden Arches, you know, and I never eat at McDonald's here in the United States, but what it represented to me was safety because it's a brand I was familiar with it. And that's why it's so important to have the eyeballs on what we're doing as we're building our contracting businesses and things like that, is it builds that brand. Oh, I've seen you around. I've seen you around. I've seen you around versus the dude who, you know, they've never heard of and things like that. You're going to have a leg up on that. So let me ask you this, kind of as we kind of come down the back end of our time here together today, I want to be respectful of your time. Can you share what an average week looks like for you? Because you produce a shit ton of content and I love it, man. I love it. But you're also building stuff and you're working and you're, you know, and everything else that goes with running a business. So can you kind of give us a behind the scenes look of what the average week in John's life looks like?
So, you know, my schedules are always changing. We'll say that. But what I try to live by is a block schedule that I developed with my business coach, Sean Van Dyke. And this concept completely changed everything for me. Essentially, you know, I have days of the week where specific things are getting done. So, for instance, Mondays, I have a scheduling meeting on my schedule for literally just me. It is on Monday morning at 9:15. I sit down by myself and I go over what I want to get done in the week, whether everything from my content production to my posting schedule, all the way down to the custom building, the ordering, the delivery, and everything that goes involved in that part of my business. So Mondays, you know, I'm typically up around 6:30. I get my morning coffee, morning routine, try to take a half hour for myself. And then I'm in the truck. I got to drive to the shop, consume an audiobook here or there. I get into the shop about an hour, hour and a half before my guy comes in. I'm getting my morning ready, and that's typically answering a lot of the emails and comments or whatever I get on YouTube or over the night on social. So after I engage with my audience and begin my morning, you know, I try to post something to show people that I'm alive and that I'm still kicking, and then I'm ready to crush the week or whatever day I'm doing. I go from there. I get that scheduling meeting done today. And then I hopped in, I got my guy in the shop. We go through what I want to get done this week, kind of plan that stuff out, come in back on the emails. And then I'm usually doing admin work for the first, you know, 3 or 4 hours of the day. I poke out in the shop after I break my fast and go and, eat something. And then I start, working if I can with, anything happening in the shop. I'm producing content around that, whether it's on Instagram while I'm doing it, and I'm also shooting. And then, you know, that typically takes me through the afternoon. My guy's out of the shop around 5. I'm back in the office editing and handling emails, drawings, client interactions. Obviously, I'll get like 10 phone calls while I'm in there with God knows what's going on. And then Tuesdays I block out. Tuesday's my podcast day. Me and my partner, we sit down, we hammer out our podcast. 10 a.m., we're usually there like 3 p.m., whether we're doing product development and the actual recording. And then I'm back into the shop and I'm usually here till like 9 o'clock. And most of my days end between 9 and 10 p.m. I take that half hour to go home. I get in the shower. I go read a book and go to bed, get up, do it again. And my typical week, like, but there's things that I schedule specifically. So deliveries are always on Fridays for myself. If I'm doing client walkthroughs, that's usually a Thursday evening. But those little things that you do instead of trying to just get things done as they come in, that really helps me stay scheduled and stay on the right path. What I realize happens to a lot of us is you get pulled in so many directions. And if you can block out certain times, then you're able to actually get the things you want to get done. So when I have that schedule meeting, I'll block out, you know, this is 3 hours for video editing for my YouTube video this week. This is an hour for, like I said, this is 4 hours for my podcast, hour for Instagram, you know, hour for this, hour for that. If you put yourself on those restrictions throughout your week in the blocks, you're much more likely to be successful at actually doing them and not getting distracted. It's easy to be like, oh, you know, I'll take a phone call here and I'll do this there. And then I'll be able to get that edit done. And then it's 9 o'clock at night and you're looking at it like, oh, I'm not anywhere close to where I want to be preparing for tomorrow. And I forgot to make this PO and I forgot to make a phone call. And so I block schedule out at the beginning of the week. And then I'm usually in the shop Wednesdays and Thursdays, building and actually making things with my hands and not on the computer. But evenings I'm usually dedicating to the computer stuff. That's where I do a lot of the development around my skills on the computer, whether I'm trying to learn something in Premiere or any of the Adobe suite, or I'm trying to learn new editing techniques, shooting techniques. I'm trying to consume as much information as possible. And I know that's one thing that a lot of us put aside, that if you put the time on your schedule to do as well, you know, I'm going to sit here, I have a Skillshare membership, I'm going to learn how to, you know, become better at Adobe Illustrator, which is what I use for editing all of my website logos and all that stuff that goes in there. All right, if I put that on the schedule, I'm more likely to get it done. So I'm typically a Monday to Saturday person. Sundays, I'll take the extra time if I need to work. But I'm being a football fan, you know, I was this fall, I dedicate that day to, you know, relaxing and trying to get caught up again for the week. One thing a lot of us don't do as well, and this is the last thing I'll touch on, is we do not set aside time for ourselves. And that's really where you can run yourself ragged. You can burn yourself out. You can really lose the enjoyment of what we're doing. And there's no reason to be in business for yourself if you hate it. So that's what we're here for. So set that time aside, whether it's in the evenings, whether it's on a day of the weekend, and, you know, work out or go hang out with friends or get your mind off work. I'm telling you, subconsciously, it helps a ton and gets you ready to go back into the work week. And it's not something that just pours over in your entire life.
Yeah, you know, it's putting your own oxygen mask on first, man. You know, you gotta make sure that you're strong so that you can, you know, do the things that are required, not only in business, but your personal life, your family, and things like that. So
100%.
So listen, as we wrap up here, I guess my last question is, how can, tell us a little bit about your Made for Profit podcast. I know you got that going on. Where can people find you if they want to reach out, have you come speak at something, or have you as a guest or anything cool like that?
Real quick, our Made for Profit podcast is myself and Brad Rodriguez from Fix This, Build That. What we do is help individuals like myself, who are usually one man wrecking crews, or woman, monetize what they're doing in the shop and learn how to actually take your side hustle and build it into the lifestyle you want. So we talk a lot of the business side of woodworking and furniture making and the whole maker movement and how to actually make money doing it. And that's everything from your social media marketing all the way down to, you know, right now we have a pricing guide available to help people learn how to properly price and understand markup and margin and that kind of stuff. You know, it's that has been one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life. And I've realized how much doing things like what we're doing right now can help others. So I'm super fortunate to be in that situation and super thankful for getting the recognition that it's gotten so far. And we're only, you know, 30 episodes in coming this week. So if you're into that, you can check that out at madeforprofit.com. If you're looking at, you just want to check out my content and what I'm doing, that's johnmalecki.com. I got everything on there from, you know, videos and blogs to merchandise and plans you can buy to build your own furniture and stuff. So those are the two places that you're going to find me at most. And then Instagram, obviously, I'm pretty active on there, and that's @John_Malecki.
Good stuff. Well, we'll make sure to get links in the show notes to all that stuff and direct people your way. And I appreciate you hanging out with us today and helping equip contractors, you know, to fight the fight a little bit better, a little bit stronger each day, man. It's been great.
Yeah, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to hearing feedback on it, because I know I'm not necessarily a contractor, but I deal with a lot of them, and I know we're all struggling the same way as small business owners. So hopefully I provided some value.
Well, you definitely have, and you know, you're making stuff, you're serving people, you're building a brand, and you're doing all the things that any business owner needs to do, contractor or not. So, man, I know that some of the stuff you shared here today is going to help somebody move the ball a little bit further. So appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Sounds good. And Travis, go ahead and bring in the guitars, and John, we'll see you next time, buddy.
See you, bud.